Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Covers the entire nation. For USA Today, it's Dan Walker making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Dan Walker, does Mike Norvell in Kansas State make any sense to you?
It does make a little bit of sense to me. And it'll be interesting to see over the weekend where this goes. So just in full disclosure to everyone who's listening, you know, I think I'm pretty sure I was the first person last night on Twitter to sort of put that out there publicly, that Mike in Kansas State was, that there was some interest there. And when I first got a phone call about that from somebody who's plugged into a lot of the stuff that goes on, the conversation that took place was kind of the variety of, hey, is Mike Norvell like getting the Kansas State job like tonight? Like that was the tone of the conversation. And when I did some checking around, it was made clear to me that no, Mike was not going to be the Kansas State coach on Friday, but was he one of three people who was very much of interest to Kansas State at that point? Yes, he was. And so where that goes, and whether he decides to stay in it or publicly take his name out of it or whatever, I don't know. But I mean, if he's the Kansas State coach on Monday, like it wouldn't totally shock me.
If, and obviously a lot of things, as you know, go into the decision-making process when a coach is trying to figure out whether to stay or go. And it's not simply, I like this job better than I like that job. You know, family matters. All sorts of things matter. If you were advising Mike Norvell and you take all the personal stuff out of it, like, you don't know whether he might just be frustrated at Memphis, frustrated with his bosses, you don't know, and just seem like, I'm ready to get out of here, or not. So you never know what's in play there. But from a coaching career perspective, does leaving Memphis in this form make sense to go to what some people would call a bottom-tier Big 12 job?
Well, I think it's maybe tougher than you might think, and here's why. Last year, you had a bunch of jobs that opened up across the country that would have made sense for Mike Norvell, mm-hmm. whether it was Arkansas, whether it was Tennessee, Ole Miss, Arizona State. And just quite frankly, Mike didn't get a sniff for any of those. And this year, I mean, you had fewer good jobs open, but you had some. And Mike's name didn't really come up with any of those. I mean, he talked, from what I was told, he talked to Georgia Tech this week, and they gave the job to Jeff Collins. And, I mean, if you're Mike Norvell, I mean, I think you could fairly say, well, I mean, put my resume next to Jeff Collins' resume. Now, I know Jeff Collins has a previous tie to Georgia Tech, but, I mean, Mike Norvell's resume versus Jeff Collins' resume, Mike's got a better resume. And so if you're Mike, I mean, I do think you could look at the situation and say, for some reason, there's something going on why bigger programs are not jumping at somebody who has gone to American Athletic Conference title game back-to-back years. So, you know, in a business where the window closes fast for a lot of people, do you just take what you can get now as opposed to risking, you know, another 8-4 type year where, you know, people just kind of shrug their shoulders? I mean, did anyone watch Memphis this year and go, man, that was an awesome football team? I didn't, and I don't think anybody did. So, I mean, I do think there's a case you can make that just take the Power 5 job that's available now, try to win, and then you go from there.
Was that essentially what P.J. Fleck did? If I remember correctly, he was like, you know, winning MAC titles and MAC divisions and MAC Coach of the Year awards. And the thought was, oh, wow, he's going to be the next big thing. And I was told he can't get some of these big jobs for whatever reason. He's just going to have to take what gets offered, and it ends up being Minnesota. Is it that the way that played out?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of that going on. I mean, I think it was a little bit different because, you know, Mike makes $2.5 million a year at Memphis, and P.J. Fleck in the MAC. I think he was the highest-paid coach in the MAC, but, I mean, nobody in the MAC's making more than, like, $1 million. So, totally different scale, and I do think there was more of an urgency for P.J. to just get out that particular year while, you know, they were going to the Cotton Bowl. I just think that totally made sense. And he's a Midwestern, Big Ten type of guy with those kind of roots. So, you know, but there's no question. I mean, like that year, you know, he was talked about for Oregon, and he was talked about for, I can't remember, there was another big one, and he just didn't really, you know, at the end of the day, just wasn't in there. So, I mean, I think, again, I don't know what's going to happen. But, like, that's the rationale. If you're looking for a rationale to take Kansas State, that's the rationale.
No, that makes sense to me. I'm talking to Dan Walken from USA Today. He's on Twitter, at Dan Walken. Meantime, Hugh Freeze has a job. He's the new head coach at Liberty. I know you watched the press conference today. How'd that go?
Gary, have you ever met anyone who couldn't handle your junk?
I'm still looking.
That's what she said.
I'm still, woo. It was, that made for
that was an automatic.
That was for a nice tweet.
So, you know, it's funny, and I've forgotten about this, but in August, Bo Bounds, who does a radio show out of Jackson, Mississippi, had tweeted something about Hugh Freeze and, you know, the risk of hiring him as a head coach and all this stuff. And I tweeted back at him, and I said, my prediction is he will be the head coach at Liberty next year. And the reason why I thought that back then, and I know the reason why it came to be today, is that Jerry Falwell, who runs Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr., he has a strong desire to be big time in college sports. And, you know, they spend a lot of money at Liberty. They have a lot of money. It's a private school. And they really want to be big time in football. Like, they want to get in Conference USA. They want to get in a league like that. They want to get in the American. And nobody's let them in for a variety of reasons, including, you know, some of the religious stuff that's tied to the school. But, you know, I always felt like if Jerry had the opportunity to get a big name like Hugh Freeze, he would do it, because unlike a lot of schools where there are people who, you know, might have a negative reaction or might, you know, quash it because they're afraid of the backlash, Jerry Falwell runs that university. It's his university. He can do whatever he wants. And because when Hugh went there with his wife to do the first public appearance after he got fired from Ole Miss, and he did the whole thing telling his story and apologizing as a man of faith and all that stuff, that felt like a job interview to me. And that's what it was. And so when they had an opening, and I think he wanted to be a head coach, to me it just made perfect sense.
Did it make more sense for him to do this or take one of these big coordinator jobs that were on the table?
By far, it made more sense for him to do this.
Okay.
Because for a couple reasons. One, once you're a head coach, especially one who's been successful, been in the SEC, I don't think it's easy to go back to being a coordinator. I mean, you have to swallow a certain amount of pride, and you know, you're working for somebody as opposed to somebody who's running the ship. And so I think that's part of it. The other thing is, I mean, yes, there have been certain rehabilitation stints as coordinators, but look at Lane Kiffin. Lane went and did the Nick Saban rehabilitation school, and he could only get Florida Atlantic. So, you know, I think if Hugh goes to Liberty, does things there that they've never done before, which I think anything he does there by definition will be something they've never done before, and I think he probably will. Like, I think he can win 6 or 7 games there, go to bowls. All of a sudden, you've got positive publicity. He keeps his nose clean from a rules standpoint. I think, you know, I think that's the best path for him back to a big-time job.
You brought Greg Sankey's comments yesterday to my attention when he was asked to give, and he, of course, is the SEC commissioner, asked to give advice to Central Florida about, you know, how do you get into the college football playoff after being left out 2 years in a row when you were undefeated on the day that the selection committee was picking the 4 teams. And he said that UCF needs to look inward, which is what the SEC did in men's basketball. It's really a remarkable, nonsensical quote. isn't it true that there's nothing UCF can do, especially look inward, other than keep building its athletic department to a place where maybe a Power 5 conference wants it, or hope for an 8-team playoff? Because, like, you can look inward all you want. You've got no path to that playoff if you're Central Florida or anybody like Central Florida.
Yeah, I just really didn't understand what he was talking about. I thought it was a very unfortunate comment. And trying to draw the comparison between Central Florida's situation and the SEC in basketball 3 years ago, when they basically only got 3 teams in the tournament, you know, and saying he was like, well, we just scheduled better. Well, I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, it's one thing to schedule better in basketball. In football, A, nobody wants to play Central Florida from the Power Five, and B, you schedule some of these games so many years in advance, you don't know whether the team you're playing is going to be good or not. So that's just off the table. The other thing is, in the men's basketball tournament, nobody gets left out of that tournament who has a good case to get in. The only teams that get left out of the tournament are teams that have significant problems with their resumes. And with Central Florida, we can certainly debate about the strength of schedule, and I personally do not think they're one of the 4 best teams in the country. However, there is nothing on their resume that is problematic. They've won every game they've played for 2 straight years. So the comparison just breaks down on literally every level. And what he should have said, if he wanted to be truthful, is they're not going to get in the playoff. And nobody from the Group of 5 is going to get in the playoff as long as it's 4 teams. And I'm sorry, but that's the system they signed up for. And if they don't like it, then go to FCS, because we control the money, we control the system, and we're not, as long as it's 4 teams, they're not going to get in.
Wrapping up here with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, and I know this shouldn't bother me, but stuff like this bothers me every time I see it. Tua Tagovailoa wins Player of the Year last night at the College Football Awards, or whatever the proper name is for it. And then Kyler Murray wins Quarterback of the Year. I would assume that if you are a quarterback who wins Player of the Year, you also have to be Quarterback of the Year. How did this happen?
Well, one of the reasons it happened is it's different people voting, but also the award that Tua won, and I get them all confused, but the one for Player of the Year was voted on before the SEC and Big 12 championship games.
What?
So literally 1/13th of the season was not included or factored into that award. And, you know, it does make for an interesting, probably the most interesting Heisman announcement that I can remember, because nobody really has a great sense. I mean, typically it's a coronation. It's you know, it's 3 or 4 guys sitting there, but really we know who's going to win because they've won everything else, and it's obvious that somebody's going to win. This year, it's not obvious. And there's a lot of different data points that people are using to make the case. And the reality is, and I don't vote. I mean, they've offered me votes, and I don't vote for anything. If I did vote, I would struggle with it, because the truth is they both deserve to win the Heisman in any other year. So, you know, I do think that the fact Tua did not play well in the SEC championship game swayed a lot of votes. Did it sway enough votes to put Kyler Murray over the top? I don't know. And if I had to make that call, I would have to think about it really hard.
That is Dan Wolkin from USA Today. You can read him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, @DanWolkin. Thanks, buddy. Terrific as always. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, GP.
Bye-bye. His point about the Heisman stuff, I talked about this on Monday. You know, I don't follow the Heisman week-to-week stuff the way I would follow it. I really don't follow it in college basketball either. I just find it to be mostly a waste of time, because so much stuff can change by the time the awards are actually given out. But all year long, all you heard is, like, the Heisman's over. Tua Tagovailoa is record-setting stuff for the number one team in the country. They've beaten everybody by 22 points per game. He's not even having to play in the fourth quarters. Like, nobody's even close to him. And then he has this one bad game where he's hurt, but still a bad game. And I woke up on Sunday, and everybody's like, yo, Kyler Murray might win the Heisman. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, totally flipped.
Really? Like, a guy lost the Heisman because he had one bad game where his team
so
still
weird.
Won and he got hurt? But then you start looking at the numbers, and Kyler Murray's done some unbelievable stuff. I think he's got the highest QBR in the past 15 seasons or something. And so what you find out is, when you actually look at it, There was never that much separation in reality between Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray, even though the perception was that everybody was a distant second to Tua. And so this really is one of the rare times when you are going to watch the Heisman ceremony, and I mean, you could maybe guess who's going to win, but you don't know who's going to win. And so I honestly don't remember the last time I watched a Heisman ceremony, because it always feels like we already know who the winner is before anybody even arrives in New York to take part in the ceremony. But tomorrow there is some real intrigue. I think I would still vote Tua Tagovailoa, because though Kyler Murray had better numbers, if Tua was allowed to play in fourth quarters, he would have better numbers. And that means if you don't acknowledge that, you are penalizing him because his team was too awesome. That seems backwards.
Yeah.
To penalize somebody for not playing in fourth quarters because his team was too awesome doesn't make much sense to me. And so we've got two amazing quarterbacks, but one of them was the quarterback on the best team in the country all season long, a team that overwhelmed just about everybody all season long, a team that was so good that the quarterback didn't even have to take snaps in the fourth quarter all season long. I'd give it to that guy, but I know it's not clear cut.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.